You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Just Showing Up. I'm your host, Brianna Helt, on Breadbox Media. Well, another week has come and gone, hasn't it? I really do mean it. Thank you for listening along, whether you're streaming it as it's airing this weekend or whether you're listening to it as a podcast. I don't know. Is that the right term? I think that's the right term. Listening to it as a podcast. Maybe you're subscribing on iTunes. Anyway, thank you for showing up. It is great to be here. Always great to be here. And great to be hanging out with you. I'll start today just a little bit about myself. If you haven't listened before, haven't tuned in, again, my name is Brianna Helt. And I am a writer. I'm a blogger. I have a personal blog. My website is www.briannahelt.com. You can read my writing there, get some information. If you're ever interested in hosting me as a speaker for an event, you can see all my contact info there. And yeah, that's where I host a lot of my writing. And then I'm also a blogger for the National Catholic Register. And I do some freelancing as well. So that's kind of me and my semi-professional credentials. And I laugh when I say that because that's kind of what I do in my quote unquote spare time. My main thing I do, of course, I'm married. I've been married almost 14 years. Shout out to my husband, Kevin, who listened to my show last week, and I was insanely self-conscious. It's like, in my mind, either nobody listens to my show, or it's only people that I don't know. It was a little unnerving having someone that that I know and knows so well and knows me so well listening to my show. So shout out to Kevin Helt. Thank you for listening along. But, you know, this is assuming he'll be tuning back in for this week's show. Maybe he might have had enough of me after last weekend. And I told him, actually, I said, don't you hear enough of my ponderings and my rants in person? Are you really wanting to listen to them in a recorded version? He's great, though. Anyway, hi, Kevin, if you're back listening. So I've been married almost 14 years, and I am a mom. I am an at-home mom to 8 kids. 4 of my kids are adopted, and 4 of my children are biological. And then I'm pregnant with number 9. It's our 5th biological baby, and I am due in about a month. Almost exactly a month. June 17th is my official due date. And the other night, my husband asked me, so are you getting excited about the baby? And I said, keep in mind, we're having this conversation at this like school geography tournament thing that my kids were in, which is not really much of a spectator sport. But anyway, they're in these teams, and it's a game. It's called GeoPlunge. I don't know if you've heard of this. I had never heard of it, but there's this teacher at my kid's school this year. None of my kids have him this year. And unfortunately, he's leaving when the year's done. But anyway, he kind of brought this game to the school, and it's really pretty cool. And my kids have learned all kinds of things, like state capitals and different facts about the different states. And this was their second tournament. And in the first tournament, one of my sons, my boys are fraternal twins. They're 11. One of my boys, his team got first place. That was several months ago in the first tournament. And then they just had their second tournament. And my other son, his team got second place, which was kind of cool. So happy for them. My daughter that also participates, she's nine. She tells me on the way home from the tournament, she's like, I'm the only one that now that hasn't gotten a trophy. It's like, oh man. But her team did get a sportsmanship award the first tournament. And, those are always okay. I don't know how you feel about sportsmanship awards. I think it's great that they give it out. And I think good sportsmanship is obviously very important. But when you receive the sportsmanship award, it's kind of like how when I played t-ball, I was in kindergarten. I'm a horrible athlete, by the way. Sports, not my thing. Anyway, I got like most improved player award at the end of the year. And I, you know, I'm like, okay, this is code word for you are a terrible t-ball player. Anyway, how did I get onto this? Okay, so yeah, so we're at this geography tournament. And it's like crazy loud in this room, and kids are yelling and yelling plunge, or I don't know, whatever it is that they yell with this geo plunge thing. Anyway, so my husband's like, so are you excited about the baby? And I said, yes, but I think it's going to, you know, it's going to really hit when school lets out for the summer, which is coming up. My kid's last day is May 25th. I said, then I think I can focus on that. And, you know, I was reflecting to him that this has so been the pregnancy of, like, too much going on to think much about the pregnancy. We found out that I was pregnant 2 days. I think it was, like, 2 days before, or it might have been one. No, I think it was 2 days before we flew to Rome for a 10-day pilgrimage with our church. And so it's like, oh, okay, oh my goodness, you know. And then that was in October. And so, you know, then there were like the holidays, and then we embarked upon this crazy kitchen remodel, where it wasn't just a remodel. I mean, we moved the kitchen to a different room, and that was, you know, it's great. Like, my kitchen, not gonna lie, my new kitchen is fabulous. Except for, I don't know, our refrigerator is having some issues. More on that in a few minutes. But anyway, so, you know, then we had this kitchen remodel, which took a couple months. And contractor was great. Shout out to AKS Construction in Denver. Keith Simmons, awesome, awesome guy. But all of that to say, you know, like, we were really consumed with that. And even though it wasn't a DIY, and, you know, my husband and I, we were not doing any of the physical work, really. Man, it was still a lot. It was a lot on our plates, a lot of design decisions to make. And, you know, that was really consuming. And then I feel like that kind of concluded. And now we are in the throes of, like, end of the year, school year craziness, music performances, spring plays. We've got soccer going on. So it has just been, it has been a whirlwind of 9 months. But I am very excited about the baby on the way. We're having another little girl. We only apparently produce girls. This is our fifth biological child and our fifth biological daughter. So were it not for our adopted twin sons, we would have no sons. So it's kind of funny, but I'm very excited about the baby. We're hoping to do some room switching with kids before baby comes. I'd like to get that done. That was the other thing my husband said, well, what do you think your nesting is going to look like? Like, what are you wanting to do? And I said, I think I'm really wanting to get the kids' rooms. We've talked about getting rid of some of the bunks and doing some small twin beds instead and switching some rooms around. So that'll be a good thing to be working on when all my nesting instincts kick in. Because, you know, when you're on your fifth baby, like, nesting, I mean, you know, you're lucky to have a diaper. Like, you're lucky to have a newborn diaper in the house by your due date. I'm like, oh, yeah, the baby's coming. Like, I guess we need to have diapers and a couple onesies. I don't know. It kind of becomes old hat, but not in a bad way, actually, in a very beautiful way. And we're so blessed. And I feel like with each baby, each subsequent baby, I have appreciated it so much more. And pregnancy and childbirth, you know, I don't take those things for granted. I've had three miscarriages over the years, over the course of our marriage. Obviously very difficult. And so I'm thrilled. I'm totally thrilled, even if I don't feel like I can give it the appropriate thought or whatever until we are done with school. So this past week it's been busy again. School performances, soccer stuff, my daughter was in, my oldest was in Shakespeare's The Tempest. I don't know, is it Tempest or The Tempest? Anyway, in a play. We've been busy. And then our refrigerator, we have this like incredible Sub-Zero fridge. We bought it used. Yes, we did. And it's like maybe having trouble holding the right temperature. I don't really know what's going on. The freezer stays at zero. The refrigerator every once in a while will kick up about 4 degrees and hold there for a while, and then it'll go back down, and we're not sure what's happening. And the guy we bought it from, he's in the appliance business, and it's a family business, and he's been in it for years. And so he sent his son out to look at it the other day. And the window that he was supposed to arrive between was 3 and 5. And I think he came at 9:30 at night, which is kind of funny. Anyway, more on this when we come back. I'm Brianna Helt, and you're listening to Just Showing Up.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I am your host, Brianna Helt, on the Just Showing Up radio show on Breadbox Media. Thanks again for showing up and listening today. Before the break, I apologize. I was like going to tell you all about the very exciting things that we're talking about today on our show, and I totally blew it. I got so chatty about the end of the year and how I only have girls, biological girls, and I got carried away. So before I return to my ongoing Sub-Zero refrigerator saga, I wanted to let you know what you have to look forward to today. So I'm wanting to talk about a few things today. I'm wanting to talk a little bit about this whole thing that everybody's talking about, originating, I guess, under this name with the blogger Rod Dreher. I hope I'm saying his name right. I like Rod a lot. I like his blog a lot. I think he's a very interesting writer. I know he's not Catholic anymore, and I don't really care. I'm assuming that not all of my listeners are Catholic. Maybe you're not even a Christian. I don't know. Anyway, don't know where you're at in your journey here, but there's like a little controversy with this blogger Rod because he's not a Catholic any longer. I think is he Orthodox? I don't know. Anyway, sorry. So he coined this term, the Benedict option. And I want to talk a little bit about what the Benedict option is. And I just recently wrote something about it. And I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about that. So we're going to talk about what the Benedict option is. I know the suspense is really building. The other thing we got to talk about this week is this whole like Lady Gaga, I don't know, like talking about her faith online, and she posted that picture with the priest and said some nice things about, I guess about his homily or whatever. We're going to talk about that. And also tangentially, who says tangentially on the radio? I don't know. I do. I like tangents a lot, as you well know, if you've been listening to Just Showing Up for any amount of time. But anyway, Lady Gaga, but tangentially, a little bit about Beyonce and this album she came out with, Lemonade, which was like all the talk of the internet over the past couple weeks. It's quieted down some. But anyway, and more generally, just this kind of like obsession our culture has with celebrities, which I find fascinating, maybe mildly disturbing. Anyway, and then finally, the other thing I want to talk about today is whatever you choose to call this person, the person formerly known as Bruce Jenner / Caitlyn Jenner, this Kardashian biographer has come out and said that that Caitlyn Jenner has is wanting to like retransition or detransition. I don't know how you would say it. My apologies if I'm saying it wrong. And regrets this whole sex reassignment thing. And I don't know. I think it's interesting. The news story is interesting. You know, the media's really jumped on this, even though these are just rumors at this point, and we don't know if this biographer is telling the truth or I don't know. But I think it's kind of interesting. So I wanted to talk about a little bit about that as well. So, but anyway, back to my refrigerator saga. Before the break, I talked about how we are doing, well, we did this kitchen remodel, which was really less of a remodel and more of like we did a kitchen because we moved the space where the kitchen is. Well, we didn't move the space, but I mean, our kitchen is in a different room of our house than the pre-existing kitchen, I guess. And we wanted to do something really nice. We wanted, I don't know. We wanted like top of the line appliances, and you can absolutely find some of certain kinds of top of the line appliances. You can buy used, and you can buy parts for them if they need parts. You know, it's this whole thing. It's like this whole other thing. So that's what we wanted to do. So we got this Sub-Zero refrigerator from a guy whose family's been in the appliance business locally for many, many years, decades really. And anyway, the freezer holds its temperature, but the fridge every once in a while it'll like kick up 4 degrees and then hold there and then it'll go back down, and we're not really sure what's going on. And the little service light was flashing on the display, and so all of this long boring thing to say that we needed to have them come look at it. And so the man we bought it from, he sent his son out because his son works for his business too, and his son was supposed to come between 3 and 5, but he called me like closer to 7 p.m. and said he was gonna get dinner and then he'd be by, and then he came at like 9:30 p.m. and it was like kind of funny. See, I have this total thing. I have this thing with people like working in my house. I don't know if it's like a social anxiety issue. It totally could be, but you know, like when we were having our kitchen done, you know, these electrical guys are like in and out, and it's just uncomfortable. Like I feel uncomfortable, and like, what do I do? And so when this guy came to work on the fridge, I was like, well, he doesn't want me, you know, breathing down his neck, watching what he's doing. My husband wasn't home at the time, by the way. And so I had like just gotten my kids to bed. Well, most of them had been in bed for a while. My oldest was still up doing some homework, and you know, I'm getting her settled, and I don't know, like it was just kind of awkward. So I was like talking to my daughter, and then you know, she's going to bed, and then I'm like eating some chips downstairs in our old kitchen. We have this multi-level, our house is like a tri-level, but it's like a, I don't know, it's weird. Anyway, but it's more than just 3 levels. I don't know. It's like eating some chips, and then I took my computer down. Because, okay, like, my natural instinct is to go into my bedroom, right? When, I don't know, like when someone's they're working and it's 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. But if he needed to talk to me, like, I don't know. It's very uncomfortable. I hope I'm not the only person that feels this way. I really prefer if someone's working in my house to just be gone. But you can't always do that. So anyway, and then, you know, I didn't know this guy and my husband wasn't home. And I'm like, oh, this is so weird. And but I mean, I'm so grateful that he's like working on my refrigerator, too. And then the funny thing was my daughter, my kids went roller skating. Went to a roller skating rink about, I don't know, a week ago, I guess. And my daughter, my oldest, had gotten a blister from skating that night. And I don't know, it had like scabbed over and then something happened and scab came off. So anyway, so she's like bleeding. And the irony, I just found it kind of ironic because I found myself saying to her, okay, just make sure you throw away your bloody trash. And I thought, this guy working on my fridge probably just heard me and he's probably afraid. Like, oh my gosh, who are these people? Why do they have bloody trash in their house? I don't know. Anyway, that's the fridge. And it's gone back up in temperature since he came. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Moving along, so one of the things that I wanted to, one of the things that I just wrote an article for the National Catholic Register, and it was kind of about my take, or just some reflections, I guess, on the Benedict option, and what is the Benedict option, you ask, and I guess, I don't know, I mean, one of the best, I don't know. I felt so. Rod Dreher has written quite a bit about it. He's a blogger, and it's an interesting thought. It's kind of about like how do we as Catholics, if we're Catholic, how do we kind of live out our faith and strengthen our kids and raise our kids in the faith and produce good art, and how do we kind of bring about this cultural, not a cultural awakening so much, but just how do we, you know, now that we're kind of in this post-Christian society, where Christianity isn't really welcomed in the public square so much anymore, Christians aren't really a privileged group in society anymore, kind of what should we be, what should we be doing as Catholics? And I guess that this idea, Rod Dreher's Benedict option, I guess it's based on this, there's a philosopher, Alasdair MacIntyre, and in 1981, he wrote a book called After Virtue, and basically says that our society needs like new local forms of community within which civility and the intellectual and moral life can be sustained through the new dark ages. And the model for that is, was Saint Benedict, and his monasteries back in the 6th century were, you know, they were essentially that. So recently on the website, I'm going to mispronounce this, I'm sorry. Aletheia, a writer, John Berger, wrote this really good piece about the Benedict option. It really kind of laid it out very clearly. It's called What is the Benedict Option and Why Might It Be Coming to Your Neighborhood? And we're going to talk more about that when we come back. This is Brianna Helt on Just Showing Up.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
For showing up, I am Brianna Helt. This is Just Showing Up, the radio show on Breadbox Media. And before the break, I was talking about something called the Benedict option. And if you are familiar with the Catholic blogosphere at all, then you might know that this is something that people have been tossing around The leading proponent of this is the blogger Rod Dreher, who is actually he's not Catholic. He used to be, but anyway, basically, the Benedict option is this idea of kind of Christians regrouping, and it's patterned after, it's called the Benedict option, named after, of course, Saint Benedict, who in the 6th century opened these monasteries. And anyway, so it's kind of this idea about how in this post-Christian society, people who are Christians, people who are Catholics, need to kind of band together and live life together. And, you know, Christians aren't necessarily privileged in the public square anymore. And so that's kind of this idea. And I've been kind of, it's okay. So I recently wrote something for the National Catholic Register. You can go there and check out my, my work there. Again, my name's Brianna Helt. But I wrote something recently, just some reflections I've had on, I guess, the Benedict option. There is something also called the Catholic Land Movement, and I found that very captivating. I don't know, maybe about 5 years ago or so, this idea of kind of reclaiming a more quiet, family-centered, home-centered existence. I mean, the Catholic Land Movement would say, I mean, it's like land, right? Like, getting back to like sustainable farming, those kinds of things. My friend Devin Rose, who is a Catholic writer, a Catholic apologist, he and his family actually gave it a go. They bought a farm, and they're no longer there. But he has an ebook actually called Farm Flop if you want to read about his experience. But anyway, just this idea of the Catholic Land Movement, and part of what the Benedict option, I guess, represents is sort of a retreating from maybe from mainstream society and trying to build up our culture from within, you know, good art, good faith formation, you know, all these different things. And all of that to say, about 5 years ago, I became very captivated by this idea. And I think that the general principles and the ideals are very right. We live in a very fast-paced society, and you know, I want to raise kids who are strong in their faith, who are self-confident, who know who they are. I want to, you know, my kids exposed to the classics, good literature, good music, you know, all of those things. And so there is something quite appealing, I guess, about this idea. And there are certain communities that are kind of cropping up around the country, typically in rural areas, rural settings. And I grew up in a rural ranching community, by the way. I have a great affinity for life out in the country and just that slower pace, quiet. I love it. And that's probably part of what kind of captivated me about this whole Benedict option thing. But of course, you know, the issue remains. Okay, so John Berger wrote a piece called What is the Benedict Option and Why Might It Be Coming to Your Neighborhood? That's on, I will probably say this wrong, but alatia.org. And it was an excellent, excellent article all about what the Benedict Option is and what it isn't. And it's just very good. He explores... Rod Dreher is quoted in Berger's article as saying, over and over, we see that the biggest problem in even the healthiest churches here, where kids are being raised well in the faith, is that the rhythms of kids' lives are not being shaped by anything related to church. I'm sorry, excuse me. That's not Rod Dreher saying that. That is somebody named Brian Brown saying that. My apologies to both Brian and Rod. Sorry. Brian goes on to say, they're being shaped by the rat race, by the constant pressure to get the kid into college, whatever it may be. We have liturgies that are formed by checking our smartphone for Facebook every hour that are far more formative than the liturgy of our religion that's supposed to be the center of our lives. So I think that that is such an excellent, excellent point, an excellent reflection, and something worth thinking about. So, you know, but at the same time, I think that it is not necessarily practical, or I would argue well advised for all of us to leave our jobs, leave our communities, leave our neighborhoods, and flee to Kansas or Oklahoma or what have you. I think that for some families that absolutely works well and is a great thing to do. And I have a little bit of farm envy for those families, because there is a part of me that thinks that that is so beautiful. And yet, you know, my family, my husband's an electrical engineer and an incredible provider for our family. He works very hard, and he has no interest in trying his hand at farming or what have you. We do live on a little over an acre. We don't farm anything. I don't even have a garden. I can't even keep a plant alive. But anyway, you know, so it kind of begs this question, like, if we want to center our lives around things that matter, and again, if you're not Catholic, if you're not, you know, if you're not a Christian, maybe, you know, whatever language works for you, you know, you want to center your life around good things, things that nourish, things that build up, you know, is it possible to do that even while not fleeing or rejecting the world? And in Berger's article, over at Alatia, he talks about, like, the personal approach to the Benedict option that, that writer Leah Labresco, she's a convert from atheism. Again, if you're around the Catholic blogosphere, you've probably heard that name, Leah Labresco. She's great. Very good writer. Anyway, she, former atheist, now she's a Catholic. And she talks about, you know, kind of doing this Benedict option thing without rejecting and fleeing from the world. And basically talks about, you know, kind of this community that she's tried to build up. You know, she started by inviting friends over to her apartment, and they'd have dinner once a month together, and they'd pray together. And in Berger's article, he talks about how her group has grown to about 50 people, and they have, let's see, book discussions, debates, play readings, and other activities. And you know, everybody kind of works together to meet one another's needs. And it's just very beautiful. And I think that is totally something that we can do, that I can do, that you can do. You know, if we are intrigued by this Benedict option, if we are concerned about the culture, I think we as Catholics or Christians or whoever you are can band together with like-minded individuals and build each other up. And we could do that kind of in our neighborhoods where we are. You know, I don't think we have to relocate to a farm or a more agrarian oriented lifestyle to do that. And again, I'm not criticizing people who do go and relocate. I think it's beautiful. Some of these rural communities are like cropping up around existing religious communities, so like near a monastery or a convent or whatever, and really centering around that parish. And it's very beautiful, but not practical for all of us, and maybe not, again, not even advised by all of us. And there is something beautiful too, I think, about being in the world and living your faith that way. Just a thought. Anyway, do check out this article by John Berger. I think it's excellent. It's really good. Good food for thought, no matter who you are or where you're at. And again, I apologize for misattributing a quote earlier. I feel bad about that. It's like, radio show host, you're not supposed to do that. And I'm a writer, so I wouldn't want, you know. Anyway, sorry. Moving on. Let's talk about Lady Gaga. So there's like all this talk this week because Lady Gaga posted that picture of herself with a priest, and she spoke highly of him and about his homily. And then there is this website called let's see, what is it called? It's called Catholic Link, which I confess I had not heard of prior to this, but I'm probably totally out of the loop on all of these things. Anyway, but the editor, Becky Roach, for Catholic Link, she wrote this post kind of in response, because, you know, the Catholic internet went like, they went all bananas. They, you know, people were so excited that Lady Gaga had posted this positive encounter with a priest. And so Becky Roach wrote this article on Catholic Link kind of about it. And she wrote, many celebrities are sharing Bible verses, quoting priests, and singing Christian music while at the same time still leading a typical Hollywood lifestyle void of Christian values, such as modesty and purity. And that was partly in reference to Lady Gaga. Well, then I guess it was on Instagram, right? On Instagram, Lady Gaga responded to Becky Roach. And we're going to talk about Lady Gaga's response when we come back from the break. I am Brianna Helt on Just Showing Up.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Everybody, I'm your host, Brianna Helt, on Just Showing Up here on Breadbox Media. So before the break, Lady Gaga, Becky Roach, Catholic Link. So after Becky had written what she did about how, Becky Roach had written that many celebrities are sharing Bible verses, quoting priests, and singing Christian music while at the same time still leading a typical Hollywood lifestyle void of Christian values such as modesty and purity. That was partly in reference to Lady Gaga's photo that she'd posted about this priest. She was in a picture with the priest, and she said some positive things about him and about the faith, and Catholics loved that. Catholics love when celebrities say Catholic-y things. And so Becky Roach kind of wrote this thing in response. And then Lady Gaga replied to her on Instagram. And Lady Gaga says, she writes, "Dear Becky Roach, Mary Magdalene washed the feet of Christ and was protected and loved by him. A prostitute. Someone society shames as if she and her body are a man's trash can. He loved her and did not judge. He let her cry over him and dry his feet with the hair of a harlot. We are not just celebrities. We are humans and sinners, children, and our lives are not void of values because we struggle. We are as equally forgiven as our neighbor. God is never a trend, no matter who the believer." So, yeah, what do we make of that, right? What Lady Gaga wrote, that is a very beautiful reflection on Christ's love and forgiveness. And I think it's worth noting. And I think, you know, what, I don't know, I guess, let me see here. And I should clarify that Becky, that Catholic Link, replied to Lady Gaga and writes, "Dear Lady Gaga, your screenshot was a one part of the article, which was not aimed at judging you. Rather, it was an effort to help Catholics to have a balanced and positive view of when celebrities publicly share their faith. It was an invitation to value the hunger of God that exists in the world of the famous. It was a reminder to not forget that they, like us, are fragile and that we should not judge, rather pray for them. This said, what you wrote is absolutely beautiful. It is one of the most touching comments we've ever read. Know that we will be praying that your experience of God's mercy continue to grow and bear fruits for you, for the people that you love, and all of your followers." That's kind of that. I think... Man, I don't know. I think it's It's tough. So let's talk about celebrities, first of all. I just think, and this has nothing to do with Lady Gaga whatsoever. I mean, she's right. Celebrities are people too. They have struggles and pain, and they're real people. And I think that, you know, that, I mean, that, that we forget that, right? Like, so I have a friend whose brother, was actually, he was an Oscar winner, and he was a well-known actor, and he died of a drug overdose, a few years ago. And on Facebook, I don't see this friend very often, but you know, she'll post on Facebook about missing him or things like that. And that was kind of a surreal experience to see the stuff, you know, being reported in the news, and then see a friend, the sister of this person, kind of working through the grieving process. And it's just a reminder that, yes, that individual was a celebrity, but yeah, he was a brother. He was a son. He was a friend. They are real people. And so, and you know, my issue, I don't know. I mean, I think, here's the thing. I think our culture, I'm not talking about the celebrities themselves, but I think our society has this real obsession with famous people and with celebrities. And, oh, this celebrity said this, and oh, this person said that, and oh, they mentioned God. Like, that's really cool. As if it somehow gives, like, justification to us for believing in God, when yeah, we shouldn't need that from someone just because they're rich and famous, which is what a celebrity is. So I don't know. I have nothing against Lady Gaga, and I think that's fabulous that she has this priest that she loves and is trying to live out her Catholic faith. I think those are all really beautiful, very good things. And I would never begrudge anybody that, no matter who they are. But that being said, you know, I share, I guess, the concern that we are so obsessed with celebrities, and just the minute a celebrity says something remotely related to Catholicism, it's like, oh, look at this, look at this, this is so cool, this is the coolest ever. Why do we care? I don't know. I mean, there are saintly people doing incredible things every day, unsung heroes, struggling, living out the faith. Just why do we care so much about Lady Gaga? So that's my little thing. And then you know, and then it reminds me too of Beyonce, and she just came out with this album Lemonade, and everybody's raving about it, and oh, this is the best ever. And and then it begs the question, well, but what about some of these obscene, I guess, lyrics? And hey, I haven't listened to the album. No, I'm not gonna critique it or what have you. I have seen some of the lyrics. Yes, they are wildly inappropriate, for, in my opinion, anybody's ears. But I mean, I get it. Like, it's art. It's expressing anguish over, I guess, infidelity. But again, I mean, I think as a culture, we are so willing to give rich and famous people a pass, or like, I don't know. It's interesting. It's like, we're so, you know, so obsessed one way or the other. I don't know. Just a thought. So, moving right along. This is like the segment of the celebrities. If you have been following the news at all, you've probably heard that Caitlyn Jenner, of course, formerly known as Bruce Jenner, is rumored to be considering a return to being a man, or to living as a man, however you prefer to word that. No matter what sex reassignment surgery you have done, if you were born as a man, technically, you're still a man. I don't know. But anyway, and I guess this Kardashian biographer is saying that it's Caitlyn's Christian belief that is causing this struggle with now living as a woman. And this whole thing is just really sad. From the get-go, when I watched Bruce's, you know, sit-down interview with, who was it? I guess it was Diane Sawyer, right? 2020? Whenever that was, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, when he kind of came out and said, hey, I'm transitioning, I'm going to become a woman, I struggle so much, and I'm so unhappy, and it is so heartbreaking. And I wrote about this a bit. I wrote a couple of articles on my blog about that, and then I wrote one when it was happening, and then I wrote another piece just about transgenderism and the Christian response to that. I wrote that a couple of weeks ago on my blog, and I got some kind of mean feedback about that. Mostly positive, but some people were mean. And anyway, so I think that this whole issue is so sad. And you think about like sex reassignment surgery, you think about just transgenderism in general, and how it's born out of, for many people, I think, you know, Bruce Jenner said this himself. I mean, it was born out of this disconnect in his mind, this anguish, this unhappiness. That is very sad. And I think the big lie is that, well, sex reassignment will fix that, or, you know, living as a transgendered person will fix that. And perhaps it does alleviate some of that anxiety in the short term. Who am I to say that it doesn't for some people? And yet I think in the long term, my goodness, that is an insane amount of loss. I mean, you've lost part of your identity. And I, you know, I just, it's sad. And of course, it's not in accordance with, you know, God's plan for men and God's plan for women. And God made each of us just the way that he wants us. I think it's heartbreaking. The whole thing is very, very sad to me. And so it's interesting that this is in the news. Again, it's still just a rumor. And that's part of what intrigues me about this, is that the media has just like jumped on this, and everybody's just jumping on this. And I think Christians want to use this as like a weapon. Like, see? You know, it doesn't work. Transgenderism is, it's all messed up and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm thinking, my goodness, let's not use this as a weapon to beat this guy over the head with. He has, you know, like psychological, emotional struggles in his life, like I'm sure most of us do. And because he's famous, right? He's living this out in front of everybody. And to sort of use this as an I told you so moment, I think is highly unfortunate and not something that we should be engaging in. You know, I wish Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, whatever he wants to go by, I don't know, I wish him the very best. And I wish all of you the very best. We got to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to Just Showing Up. I'm your host, Brianna Helt, on Breadbox Media. Until next time, take care.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.